Reading from Exodus. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This passage from Exodus is a portion of the Hebrew scriptures that are appointed in today's daily office. Sometimes in these chapel services, I'll do a theme for the week and have had some fun with those, and several people asked me what the theme was going to be this week. Well, we'll touch on Epiphany. Saturday is the Feast of Epiphany, so we don't want to let that go by without focusing on it and celebrating a bit. But I think it seemed to me that the way the Holy Spirit was leading is just showing me leading me to things in these passages of Scripture that come around in the daily office. And if you ever do that, in the back of the Book of Common Prayer, there's a 2-year cycle of Scripture readings. You get 4 basic Scripture areas of Scripture reading each day, and it takes you on a wonderful, wonderful journey. But this was today's Old Testament reading, or a portion of it. And when I read it this time, it's kind of seized my heart in a different way than ever before. And I was really fascinated. Having heard this story since I was about 5 years old, when our parents first took us to church at the time of my father's conversion, began hearing the story. And so, you know, you kind of get inoculated to the stories that you hear again and again, and they kind of go over you and don't grab you like perhaps they once did. This time, reading it, I was really fascinated with this unusual fire, the character of this fire that is burning something. It's blazing, but unlike the fires that we've seen in our lives, the thing being burned was not consumed. The bush was not consumed. That's very, very different from all the earthly fires that we've known, wildfires. I don't know if you've ever been in a burn hospital. I used to live in Houston, Texas, and the Shriners have a burn hospital there in Galveston. Visited a little boy, nephew of a friend of ours that had been badly, badly burned. And just walking up and down the halls of that hospital, you get the sense of how fierce, how ferocious, how destructive a fire can be. Of course, the fires that we see, we know that all of creation is alive. And the fires that we see are part of the realm of spirits that we would call elemental spirits. I mean, these things are not just random things, but they seem to take on a mind of their own, kind of a brute force mind, an animal-like thing. But fires are very, very destructive, but not this one. This fire was not destructive. The bush was burning, but it was not consumed. Our God is a consuming fire. He does have the capability of consuming. He has the capability of, we know that eventually all of nature is going to be set on fire again. We learn from Peter. The elements will melt with fervent heat as all of creation is remade, is recreated through the redemptive work of Jesus. But here, he is burning and not consuming. You see, God, out of whom flow all of the fruits of the Spirit, is ultimately self-controlled. He's not like a fire that just burns out of control randomly destroying houses and properties and human flesh, lives, goods, beautiful things. Our God is a consuming fire, but he is self-controlled. Perhaps some of us, since the last time we were together, have been through a fire. I spoke to Bob Weber last night after our opening convocation. And since we've seen Bob last, 6 months or so ago here, he and Joanne have been going through a fire. Our God is a consuming fire, but he's good. Eric reminded us again of the Narnia tales last night. And remember the question about Aslan? They were so afraid of the lion. He's fierce. But the answer about the lion is yes, yes, but he's good. He's powerful, he's mighty, he's frightening, but he's good. Our God is a consuming fire, but he's self-controlled and he's good. We need not be afraid of the fire. Some of you will know the hymn that I'd like to quote. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. We don't use the word dross very much in contemporary English. I went to dictionary.com to figure out exactly what it means. You have a sense of what it means in metallurgy. It's the purification of a metal. That's the metaphor being used in the hymn. But the literal meaning of dross is waste matter, refuse. Who among us doesn't have waste matter and refuse in our souls, in our lives, that we need this good, self-controlled, loving, consuming fire, great God of ours, to consume, and gold that he longs to refine? Perhaps you've not been going through a fire. Perhaps you've been kind of looking for some direction. I've had a couple of areas in my life where I've been doing that lately. I want to quote another chorus of another song, this by a contemporary Nashville songwriter. I've quoted it here before, and this comes back to the burning bush. My friend wrote this lyric. He said, I'm praying for a miracle to let me know you're listening. I'm waiting for a lightning bolt to strike. I'm walking through a garden of 1,000 burning bushes and looking up to heaven for a sign. So often the burning bush is right there in front of us, all around us, and we're looking somewhere else for a sign rather than just relaxing, listening to the still small voice, hearing him speak, and it will be good. Let's prepare our hearts for a season of silence.